With that being said, it is time to bring in the press, and it is time to bring in this weekend the Lakeville Journal. We've got Cynthia Hosmer with us. Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for saying that.
And Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. Yeah, you're right.
I just don't understand. You know, free press does not mean that we don't have budgets that we have to operate under. You know,
it does tell us something about how people think news is gathered. You know, I think they just think it appears on their social media feed, and who knows where it comes from, or, you know, it's just generated from the air. You know, people don't have to gather it.
And what's amazing about that is we've apparently efficiently disconnected any understanding of where that information might come from. So, not only is it free, but it's just there.
And what the Daily Bugle does is it doesn't race to get the news out. Once the news is out and published in the papers, then to help move the stories along, and believe you me, to get people, because we want people to come to us, we want people to come to the Lakeville Journal and to the other papers, it affords you the opportunity to be exposed to more news. But anyways, enough of my preaching for this morning. I just had to get that off my chest this morning. All right, let's go to the front page of the Lakeville Journal. And well, before we get to the ski jumping and stuff, the story about Women's Support Services moving to Lakeville in March by Lila Hawken.
And actually, before we even go there, let me say very exciting news for all of us at the Lakeville Journal, which is Patrick Sullivan, who's now managing editor, stepped up and is doing the front page. And this is his first front page that he's put together on his own, and he did a great, great job. And so Lila Hawken spoke to Betsy Morrow at Women's Support Services, which, as we all remember, used to be, I remember when it was in the railroad depot over here in Falls Village. Then they moved to their own building in Sharon, which was definitely a step up. They've been doing great work, and sadly, as we all know, during any of these periods when a lot of people are sort of at home a lot, there tends to be an increase in domestic strife. And so they've had a huge increase in calls in the last couple years of COVID. They've purchased a new property in Lakeville. Details are still not very clear on that, but they will be moving sometime in early March. As we know, these commercial real estate deals take a long time to settle, but we're very happy that they will be able to provide even more service for all of our area towns.
All right, another big story right below that is the Lakeville Housing. They now have purchased Lakeview apartments, and they're going to keep it affordable. And I think that is a very big step forward, and maybe with them stepping in, it will be more rented out in the future.
It's a very, it's an important story for affordable housing. That's kind of, I think people may not realize it, but that's kind of an apartment neighborhood in Lakeville in the historic district. And it had been owned for a while by Peter Oliver. It was then taken over by the Women's Institute for Housing and Economic Development, who sort of ran it as an affordable property. And it's now been taken over by the Salisbury Housing Committee. And it's essentially right next door, you know, separated maybe by a building and a parking lot from the proposed affordable housing property that's also being discussed for Lakeville. So it's great.
And I've been in, there's an apartment there that's on the very top that has an unbelievable view of Lakeville Lake. It's a great, hopefully it'll contribute to that, to helping solve a problem, at least in the Lakeville area of housing. Before we get to the ski jumps, blood supplies are critically low, which I found out when I visited the hospital a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, the kind of thing we don't think about. It's the lowest they've been in a decade, and the reasons include the fact that private schools are no longer having the blood drives that they always had had. It's very helpful, and that they're not really out in the community as much as they used to be. We have a list of area blood drives coming up. I think the first one here is in March, maybe. The list is on our page A6. But I think that a lot of people kind of got a bad feeling about American Red Cross when it was revealed that they were charging hospitals for the blood that was being given to them free. And Marina Ballantyne from Sharon Hospital New Vance explains why the hospitals pay for the blood, which is the processing, the cleaning, the making sure that it's safe, and also, again, stressing that the hospitals really need this blood. It comes from a number of different sources, so please give if you have the opportunity.
All right, and we move on. Willie Hallahan will be a frequent guest. He started about a week and a half ago over the next month because there's a doubleheader coming up with the Salisbury Winter Sports Association. Of course, there's the ski jumps at Satry Hill, the regular ski jumps, and then about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, the junior nationals come to town, and Patrick's got the story of the double dose of ski jump, and I love the pictures from the 1940s.
Right. It's a fantastic photo, and I sent it to John Harney, of course, who, the Harney family, very involved in ski jumping in Salzburg for the years, and he said, back in those days, the first skier to go down the slope would set the track, meaning that it was just a completely flat snow surface, and however he skied down that slope, if he, you know, bobbled at a moment, all the other skiers that were going to go down that day were following in his tracks, but also quite scary, as John said, for the first person, because anything could happen on their way down. So that's the very old tower, and was built for the National Ski Jumping Championship in 1952. We now have the beautiful new towers that were built in anticipation of our having the Junior National Ski Competition here, which is what's happening at the end of February. They're looking for volunteers, but most important, they hope you'll come out February 11th to the 13th. It's raining today, but as a general rule, the weather's been very good for making snow, and we have a beautiful series of photos on Instagram that we posted last night that Patrick Sullivan took of them preparing the slopes.
And also, in this week's edition of the Journal of Northern News, the big insert for the Salisbury Jump Fest 2022. It gets bigger and bigger each year. I love the way local businesses support the Salisbury Winter Sports Association.
And the beautiful cover by James Clark, in which he took a contemporary photo but gave it that old-fashioned feel that we all love about the ski jumps. And I'll let Jana talk about Jump Fest.
Yeah, I mean, this program they put together every year, it's an all-volunteer project, and it is great to see so many area businesses support the ski jumps and Jump Fest, and you learn a lot just by reading through the program. They tell you about the history of it, the way that scoring happens, all kinds of things, and especially this year with the double dose of it, as we talk about in the article, two events this year, read through it, read through that program, read the stories we have on it, and definitely come out to see the ski jump.
As Willie says, not only the double dose of events, but the Olympics are going on, and this really affects positively the Curling Club in Norfolk and Salisbury Winter Sports Association. So this is a banner year with both events, the Olympics, and also with our good friends up at the Norfolk Curling Club.
Right. Coming out of, the past couple of years with a bang and really having wonderful events around winter sports.
Yeah. We'll go to the story about Sharon Center School. The principal, Karen Manning, retiring after 26 years of service to the district.
She's amazing, and of course her husband, Judge Manning, had been for many years the head of the Region 1 Board of Education, a couple that really has contributed a lot to the community, and also their wonderful kids, Judge and Asia. So she's done her time. She's been in Region 1 for 26 years. And it's largely, like Patricia Chamberlain, who retired from being principal and then went on to be the region superintendent. When Patricia retired, she was getting ready to do equestrian activities, which had been her passion. Same with Karen, who says that she'll be doing a lot of writing coming up now.
All right, inside in Sharon, improving Sharon's internet and infrastructure.
Right, Brent Colley saying something so obvious and yet so funny, which is, you know, we're in a big old brick building and the internet just does not work very well here, so they're working on improving internet. You know, when you go over to Town Hall, if you spend any time there, it's very stressful there because there's a lot of stuff going on and there's a lot of new regulations being put up by the state, and a lot of it involves the internet and the posting of records. And they really do need to have that improved internet. They're doing a lot with a little. I'm also talking about sidewalks and roads, which has, you know, been consistently a problem in Sharon, and really in all of our towns, but Sharon, I think, maybe feels it and cares about it an awful lot. I hope to improve some of the sidewalks after 11 years of not being updated.
And they're finally, as you reported and we reported last week, the back parking lot is going to be expanded. That work is going to start sometime within the next 6 months. New drainage put in, more parking, more accessibility. So. Things are coming together, a lot going into Town Hall. And in Cornwall, they're looking, and this is something, Cynthia, you do stories on. These towns have to look ahead, not 1 year or 2 years, but they try to look ahead 10 years at a time. In Cornwall, they've come together on their goals and looking at what the next 10 years will be look like.
I'm sure people are bored with me saying this, but every 10 years, the state requires every town to update its town plan of conservation and development, and that is the form that impacts all of the zoning regulations that all of our towns have. And I think that people are attracted naturally to the northwest corner. It feels very planned, and it has an unchaotic feel to it. And a lot of that is because the zoning regulations, which are fairly strict here. So all the towns are updating on a different schedule. Their town plan of conservation and development. Michael Clemens had called me yesterday from the Salisbury Planning and Zoning Commission. He said Salisbury is about to begin updating its plan. The hope is always to have the town come in and have everybody say, this is what we want our town to look like as we move into the next decade. That's very difficult now, of course, with COVID. So all the towns are sending out surveys. The hope is that everyone will respond to the surveys and say, we want industry, we don't want industry. We want houses that to be able to have an accessory building in the back for more affordable housing. And, of course, as the state is requiring affordable housing regulations to be added, that will be an important part of those surveys. So Cornwall has now put together its town plan. The selectmen were discussing it at a hearing with the public. It is actually a document of the Planning and Zoning Commission, which will take all of the input it's had, make any final adjustments, and then they will create their official town plan, which will be submitted to the state.
Okay, we'll get some business news. First of all, in Salisbury, the certified nutrition specialist, which is opening up.
Sarah Wellison, who is formerly Sarah Williams, of course, the daughter of Town Clerk Patty Williams and Selectman Chris Williams, and is a really interesting, lovely young person. Starting in a new, interesting career, and it's going to be great. We've already had rave reviews from her from three people that we know who have gone to her. So doing diet and nutrition, which is an important, as we all know, an important cornerstone of your health.
All right. And in North Canaan, State Line Pizza, they're going to remain the same, even though there's some new owners.
A fan favorite here at the Lakeville Journal, and in fact, I'm having lunch there today, a new owner named Sunny Singh and his brother Aman Singh. And I was there to take the photo, and the menu is the same. I ordered some food. The food is the same. It's great, and we're happy to see them remain a winning formula.
And Sophie's in Kent.
In the building that was for many years the other bakery, which I loved, and I think it was called So Delicious. So Delicious Bakery, also a really excellent bakery. It's got good karma. The COVID, unfortunately, really hit So Delicious, and she closed down, but we have a wonderful new baker in there who's doing interesting scones, beautiful cupcakes. Every time I looked at that photo as we were editing, I had to go into the kitchen and eat some sweets. I'm looking forward to trying out Sophie's.
And a very active Couch Piper Coast at the VFW, once again, they raised $6,000 to send to veterans impacted by the tornado that destroyed property in December.
And really destroyed it. And I have to say, many of the VFWs largely function as a social club, and that in itself is a valuable service for people that have been through a lot of trauma. But the VFW in Canaan, Couch Piper, really is very active, reaching out a lot. And Bruce Marston, who is a fairly recent member, had been watching the TV news and saw that Kentucky had been so largely destroyed in this one section by these what were described as epic tornado damage. And they put together a fundraising effort and raised $6,000 for VFWs and for veterans down in Kentucky.
I'll pass along my thoughts about Charlie Flint. Charlie Flint sold me in 1986 the first car I ever paid over $25,000 for. I purchased a Ford Probe, and I was sweating when I signed the contract. But I had dealt with Charlie and his family over the years, and sorry to see that that he has passed.
Yeah, very beloved, and of course at McLean Ford. And Janet, you must have probably dealt with him in all of our
Because you know they were big advertisers, and Charlie was just the most wonderful guy. And you know, it's a loss, but it sure is great to see that he spent his retirement relaxing and having some fun in a community he loved. So he was just a wonderful addition to our communities and took care of everybody. And that is not a simple thing to do when it comes to automobile.
No. Tangled Lines, Patrick Sullivan, he may be booted upstairs, but he's still doing insects, blue lines, and bedtime stories.
He's still fishing, but I have to say, about 3 weeks ago, I saw somebody actually standing in the Housatonic River near Cornwall fishing, and God bless him. Patrick, being a little bit more sedentary and indoors and doing his annual sort of regrouping and thinking about where he's going to be fishing in spring.
All right. And Falls Village Planning and Zoning, they've set an agenda now for the upcoming year.
It's town meeting season, and towns are going through their annual reports, which are largely online now. Super fascinating to read your town's report. It takes about 15 minutes. You should go in and look. You learn unbelievably interesting things.
We'll come back to Compass in just a few moments. I want to go to the opinion and editorial pages. Janet, but how can you get there from here?
Right. This has to do with transportation, and I'll say in the past few weeks when we haven't been on the radio every week, we have been continuing our wish list for our towns, and we've talked about different topics, and by all means, if our readers haven't caught them, go back and take a look and think about our area. These are really important topics. They include, you know, all kinds of things, but this week we talk about transportation. You know, we're very aware in the northwest corner that we certainly don't have mass transit, but it's a real issue for people who need to get out if they don't have a vehicle or can afford the gasoline for it or whatever the issues are, that there is sparse support for people to find rides other than themselves or their friends. So do give this one a read and let us know your thoughts on it and if you have other solutions too. But now's the time for the state to look at this area too and think about what they can do for transportation for our workers. It'll help our economy, our employers, and our employees.
And people should go back and look and see what's available, because I learned with my mother years ago, with taking care of her in her final years, there are a lot of programs out there, maybe not big, huge programs, that enable people to get transportation, get food into their house, get to doctor's appointments, and it's just a question of finding out and knowing about it.
It is, and so we talk about those. You know, there is the Northwestern Connecticut Transit District, and that's based in Torrington. They have Dial-A-Ride, they have Job Access, and Candy Striper programs, and these are all for more critical situations. And, you know, by all means, take advantage of those, and if you need a ride to the doctor or even just to shopping, do check out that Northwestern Connecticut Transit District. But for everyday use, there's very little, and so by all means, give this a read and let us know what you have experienced in our area.
You have the letter from David Kirsch on the closing of the ICU at Sharon Hospital. We posted it on our Facebook page when it was sent to us, and now some 5,653 views later, and literally hundreds of comments. This is a story that is going to go to the state, of course, and is going to be followed by lots of people, not only from Connecticut, but also New York. And this letter, also now showing up in the Lakeville Journal, I'm sure will spur more people on. And it's going to be interesting to see how the state, New Vance, and the population work this out.
That's right. This is a critical issue. Dr. Kirsch has shared his views on this before, and this particular part of what New Vance is planning, he lays it out quite well as far, you know, anybody who hasn't been following it, read this letter wherever you can find it, but it's in our pages this week, and by all means, weigh in and let the state know how important this is for this region, because it's still under consideration for the state. It hasn't been approved, but Dr. Kirsch makes it clear that, you know, this can happen, and it's as he says, it's appalling that New Vance is considering this. So give it a read and think about our region as you're looking at what will happen if there's no ICU in the area.
And it piques my interest, especially over the last month
yeah.
and a half.
Yeah, suddenly becomes very real, doesn't it?
It becomes unbelievably real.
Yeah.
Another letter that's an interesting letter comes from the Salisbury Board of Selectmen. The Lakeville train station, there's a lot of talk going on. There's a lot of angst. There's a lot of plans that could be possible. And the Board of Selectmen have sent out a letter on this.
Yeah, they've sent out a letter, and they've sent out an application to the state for a grant to evaluate the property and what should be done with it. So this is a very thorough description by the selectmen saying what they're thinking of and what they're doing. And you can find that application on their website as well. So, you know, that property is historic, the railroad station in Lakeville. And I think anyone who's been here for a while remembers all the different iterations, including a radio station that was in that building.
It was a great place for a radio station, I'll be honest with you. It was absolutely fantastic, easy access. Lots of people could gain access to it. So that little building is a very important building, I think, for Lakeville, especially with what's going on in Lakeville in general, the rebirth of that town.
Exactly. This is the time to really carefully consider what a property like that can be, and it could be. And you're right, it has such easy access, good parking, it's inviting. it really could be a focal point of that whole downtown.
All right. Very quickly, of course, the Viewpoint page with Peter Steiner. Also, Connecticut voters really like incumbent governors and everything. We have about 2 minutes left, so quick on that, and then we'll go over to Compass.
People are wondering what to do indoors. You can go to the Berkshire Museum, where they have a show of underwater coolness, and you can play with an actual submarine. I'm not a curler, but apparently curling is the fastest growing sport in the Olympics. It's already begun, and not because they think it's boring and people don't care, but because there's so many teams competing, which is very exciting. There's a how-to weekend coming up this February 12th, the day before the Super Bowl, at the Norfolk Curling Club, and of course the jumping. The Salisbury Forum has their next talk coming up February 11th, Jonathan Safran Foer. I don't know how to pronounce that. I like podcasts. You can find out what the top podcasts are in America and the world on a website called Chartable, and we have a sampling of some of their favorites. And continuing, the library is finding ways to tap into world-famous authors. Matthew Sturgis, who is a well-known biographer, will be interviewed by Victoria Wilson, who had a nice appreciation in the paper recently for Anne Arensberg. Victoria will be interviewing Matthew Sturgis about his new biography of Oscar Wilde.
All right. And, that is just a portion of what we have seen in the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News this week, available online at tricornernews.com. Of course, home delivery, and you can pick it up at newsstands throughout the region. Guys, stay safe tomorrow with the ice and the slippery conditions, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Have a good week.
All right, take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Once again, you can find the Lakeville Journal on the web at tricornernews.com.